This week on AEW, Sting and Darby Allin went to an abandoned warehouse and broke some already broken windows. In response, Team Taz went out to the parking lot and beat up some random merch guys that had nothing to do with Sting or Darby Allin. We just got the rundown for next week's AEW show, and we're happy to report that Sting and Darby Allin will go to a random field and shoot some bottles with a BB gun. And in response, Team Taz will go and have some very harsh words for Sting's mailman.
Oh, poor Ted.
Yeah, he's been through a lot lately.
This and other unfortunate events coming up on the MissBots podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Fiend event!
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
I'd like to preface us talking about AEW, and by preface I mean after what we just had in the cold open, so it's no longer really a preface, but this wasn't a good show.
But don't we say that every week? Wouldn't it be much more surprising to just say this was a good show, or just roll with it and just, you know, if you're watching this, it's not a good show. Is there anyone watching this show unironically anymore?
I think that there probably is.
There has to be. I don't get it.
They're getting good numbers.
They're getting okay numbers. They're getting numbers that will keep them on TNT, apparently, and good for them. Everyone gets to stay employed. But at no point are they putting on a good wrestling show.
No. I also missed probably like the first 20 minutes of the show because TNT feed cut on streaming services. If you had cable, you were fine. But if you were on YouTube TV like me or Sling or even TNT's app, the show just cut out after Eddie Kingston got into the ring. I just got to say it was probably because there was just so much hype over this match, and also that they had to follow a cinematic classic in Geostorm as the lead in to
Geostorm. If you know what that is, congratulations. Well, first of all, good for you. You did not have to watch this match. There was one spot in this match, and you obviously didn't see this, but they did a Lance Archer choke slammed Eddie Kingston onto the ring apron from inside to outside, the outside apron. And it was a really awkward looking, painful looking bump that no one should be taking. And it wasn't a hospitalization angle. It didn't serve in the purpose of the match. It was just a thing to do, which could be the subtitle for AEW. Just a thing to do, because that's what all their matches are. None of them lead to anything. Nothing ever leads to an angle. It just is a thing to do. Everything in a match is just a thing to get to the next spot. No one sells anything. Lance Archer, we've talked about this. This is all heels wrestling. All heels fight heels. Babyfaces only fight babyfaces, but babyfaces and heels don't exist anymore because AEW has decided to throw out the entire history of narrative storytelling and say that that doesn't matter anymore. But the big badass never wins a match heel in Lance Archer, because remember, he never wins a match, who has no redeeming qualities whatsoever, who just showed up one day as a quasi babyface, I guess, just beat the ever loving piss out of Eddie Kingston for this entire match. So the babyface, I guess, just miserably pummeled the heel for an entire match. And by the way, I do remember, I don't know if you do, Remember when Lance Archer used to come out and just beat up a random guy on the production team? I remember that because it happened like a month ago. And now we're supposed to cheer you? I don't know. You people are morons. Anyway, we had this guy, this big, badass, dominating babyface, not like run through Eddie Kingston in a squash match, but do something less interesting, end up getting punched in the face after a distraction due to beating up Jake Roberts, who has been nothing but a slimy, disgusting heel the entire time. Everyone gets their comeuppance. Nobody, we don't care about any of these people because they're all heels. They're all deplorable. Not a single one of them has done anything redeeming in the entire history of the show. Why am I supposed to care? Oh, wait, I don't.
Yeah, it's the tried and true argument of this podcast of the issues with AEW not being tried and true.
I mean, Eddie Kingston is a great heel. He's a great mouthpiece. If he was just if you got rid of half the factions, because there are 47 of them, and put Eddie Kingston in charge of one of them and gave him someone better than the Butcher, Blade, and Bunny, it could be a great thing. But you haven't. If Lance Archer was a real heel or some kind of good character babyface going up against someone nearly his size, it could work. But no one's planned any of this out. It's just stuff that happens. And because of it, I don't give a shit. I don't care about these people. I don't want to see them get their comeuppance. I don't want to see the one person triumph. I just want the segment to be over. And that's the thing that always drives me insane is that people will say, well, you just don't understand it or whatever it is. I don't want to see it. I'm not entertained by it and I can't wait for it to end. I'm not trying to shit on it. I'm not looking forward to doing so. I just don't like it. Genuinely. Yeah. So, John Moxley, I think you didn't see the Moxley promo, right?
No, I did not.
You picked up right after it.
Yes.
So John Moxley did what JR does every single week and called attention to the fact that none of this makes any sense. He cut a promo basically saying, like, all the connections between the Young Bucks and the Elite and the Good Brothers and Rey Fénix and Death Triangle. Basically, he ran down everything you've ever said about the entire thing having this interconnected web that doesn't make any sense, and then just made fun of it. So John Moxley listens to our podcast, is a big fan of yours, cut a great promo basically saying, this is all stupid, none of it makes any sense, but we're doing it anyway. And I just laughed. He then mentioned gang warfare, which when your former champion is referencing one of the worst angles in the history of the WWE's Attitude Era, you should probably start reconsidering your booking. That's just my small takeaway from that. Yeah, Moxley stood in front of a fence because that's all he does. He stands in front of fences, in fields, or in stairwells, cuts pretty good promos, and this was a good one because he was basically echoing everything that we have to say.
I'm going to have to search that out and give it a little watch.
Yeah. Then it got into the Darby Allin and Sting breaking windows, which I know you saw.
Yes, I did.
Good for you. This was when it really started to pick. Business started to pick up.
Sting was mad at them being called hoodlums and then was like, but Darby is a hoodlum. Like, oh, that changed quick.
They are teetering into the stuff that everybody has the freedom to do what they want. Means that everyone does the same thing and no one stands out. And the stuff that they are now obviously over-scripting is the WWE quintessentially. Because you had Sting coming out and going, we're going to be on a first-name basis.
Yeah.
What?
Steve?
What? Like, and that way that Taz could come out and go, oh, we're on a first-name basis now? What are you talking about? His name is Ricky Starks. You want to call him Ricky? That's part of his name. We all know that. It's in the little bubble when he walks out. What are you saying?
Did someone tell Sting, like, hey, he's Mr. Starks and and Mr. Cage? Taz has one name.
Oh, I'm going to call you Ricky. One name. I'm going to call you Ricky and Brian.
What?
What are you talking about? It is the perfect epitome of the way no one has ever talked in the history of talking, and yet we're seeing it happen on television. And then we flip-flop back to everyone has the total creative freedom to say nonsense. This was just ridiculous. This entire angle is ridiculous. I think they were supposed to book this match last week, but I don't know if you went back and watched AEW from last week, but they never really challenged them for a street fight. They just talked about the streets, and Darby never really accepted it. He just said, be careful for what you wish for. It was a garbage nothing segment that I feel like they had to reshot and go, you know what? Now that I think about it, that didn't mean anything. I think we got to go to a warehouse and break some windows. As one would do. As you would logically
As one would do. I've seen it many times in the bad streets of Boynton
Bad Street,
Beach.
USA? Michael P.S. Hayes?
I was lucky to get out of there with my life.
Amen, brother. All right. Why don't you take this whole thing over? Usually you talk about the segments and stuff, and I give commentary.
I kind of like you leading. I didn't even pull up the rundown, so now okay. I got to pull that up, and I'm wasting time by doing that.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. So we had the Inner Circle versus the Varsity Blondes. Cool. One of the things that we've always called out when we were watching main roster WWE programming is that anytime two people get together as a odd couple tag team, at least in the last 15 years, they mash up their themes.
Yes.
None have ever been good.
No.
None. There's not one good example. It's a stupid idea done by stupid people for stupid reasons. So, of course, AEW did that because AEW does their best to copy everything bad about the WWE and give us nothing good that they don't do. So they did that. And by the way, this is the perfect time to not have a theme song that Billy Gunn and his babyface sons will sing along to the heels music as they come out. They could just have them come out to MJF's music. But no, they have to bring into the chorus of Judas. And I hate to keep harping on this. It seems like a small thing, but it's not. Having a bunch of baby faces that hate you sing along to your music is ridiculous. It's what dumb people would do. People that are stupid.
And seeing Jericho just sit in the corner or stand in the corner.
Oh, and just revel in it.
Yeah. It makes me want to punch Jericho in the face. Maybe that's a good thing. But it shouldn't be because everyone loves him. Like that's some weird bizarro world thing. That's not how it works.
Okay, so you just said it makes you want to punch Chris Jericho in the face, which means maybe he's doing a good heel thing. It makes me want to turn the channel. It makes me want to never see Chris Jericho again. And pretty much everything Chris Jericho has done for the last 9 or so months makes me never want to see Chris Jericho again. He took MJF. MJF was a real goddamn heel. Someone who I could believe in. Someone who I wanted to see. I want to see MJF lose. I wanted to see him lose to Cody. I wanted to see him lose to Moxley. I wanted to see this guy get his ass kicked. And he's turned him into another jokester. and a guy who sings and dances, and a guy who I don't even want to watch. I don't even want to watch work. I hated watching this match. I didn't enjoy it. The person that stood out, who's the... Okay, so I know Jericho. I know MJF. I know Brian Pillman Jr. Who's the other cat?
Griff Garrison.
Griff Garrison. Griff. That's Griff. His first name.
Yes.
Okay. Pass. But that guy I liked. I enjoyed watching him work. I thought that he showed a lot of fire. I thought that if the traditional tag match, people will say, well, we've seen that a billion times, right? You've got a main event heel team should just dominate these young upstarts, athletic, young, good-looking guys. You have them beat the piss out of them. You have them get a quick opening. You get them a hot tag. You have them run wild, give us the idea that they might win, and then Jericho out of nowhere hits a Judas Effect, and 1, 2, 3, we get the finish. That accomplishes a lot, right? The history of narrative storytelling, the hero's journey has been told a billion times and will be told a billion more times. It still works. They could have played that, but they didn't. They actually had the babyfaces beat the piss out of the heels the entire match until a flying nothing from Griff. No, it was Brian Pillman Jr. Off the top rope resulted in a finish that would have been perfect had it been foiling us, a quick hot tag. So spitting in the face of what actually gets people over got no one over. The Varsity Blondes, terrible name, are not more over right now because they fought those guys. They're just not. And the heel team are not more of a cohesive unit that we think are really going to challenge for the titles because they got their asses kicked by nobodies, and they are, for the entire match. So who wins? No one.
Yeah. As much as I got to agree with you on the name, there's something that I like about the Varsity Blondes.
Me too.
I think that they do have good chemistry, good athleticism, good looks amongst the two of them. I think that the look of Pillman Jr. and his dad is uncanny. I see so much of his dad in him looks wise. But I look forward to seeing more of them. I also think Griff needs to put some muscle on. Like he's got such a good frame and just needs to fill it out a little bit.
Listen, old Biff Garrison, that guy, I think he's got something. I really enjoyed his work. I thought I would like more of the Pillman stuff because I know his dad, and I feel like I would be more apt to fall into that. But I think that this Griff guy is fine. I see good things there.
You know, you making the joke, you do know what Oney Lorcan's name on the indies was, right?
What?
Biff Busick.
Mm.
That sounds like a person who should be tagging with Griff Garrison.
And Biff Tanner. There's Biff Tanner could tag with...
Isn't it Biff Tannen?
Tanner? I don't know. Who cares? Listen, what I know is this, Mike. Talk about your freaking segue. What I know is this. I'm going to give you this rundown. Jade Cargill shows up out of nowhere. She mentions Shaquille O'Neal apropos of nothing. I almost said apropos. Kind of fucked that up. Apropos of nothing, mentioned Shaquille O'Neal. Has Cody ever called himself a giant slayer? Not once, but she mentioned it somehow. And with no logic, no kind of provocation, she mentioned Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal shows up a month later, says he has no problem with Cody, and basically says nothing on national television. Jade Cargill continues to show up and be nothing but unwatchable. Shaquille O'Neal now wants to kick Cody's ass. Is that how storylines are done?
mean,
was there a whiteboard somewhere in Daly's place that had each one of those steps laid out? And someone, guessing Tony Khan, maybe the Young Bucks, maybe Kenny Omega, was going, yeah, that's exactly how we're going to play it, boss.
I would say, no, there's no whiteboards in Daly's place. That's why the Jaguars fucking sucked. I have seen people who dislike one another in high school have better transition into a fight than these two, and these two are doing it purposefully, fakely, for television. And you know, we if you're listening to this, that we don't like celebrities getting involved in fucking wrestling like this. So you already have that against you. But the punter, it's so fucking disjointed.
The punter had a show that Adam Cole went on and actually had an interaction.
Yeah.
Jade Cargill, which I am convinced may be a CGI character, with the fact that she is so wooden,
her and Bobby unresponsive, Lashley,
maybe very well could be the same programmer. Just showed up and mentioned him. There was no reason for it. It's insane. It is insanity that this is even happening. It makes no sense, and you had to have Arn Anderson, poor fucking Arn Anderson, had to go out and sell this chicken shit as chicken salad. Well, Shaquille O'Neal is a world-class athlete. He's also 50 and not a wrestler and has no reason to have any beef with you. Any reasonable person would say, hey, why don't you just give that guy a call and go, what's up, man? Maybe some random person you barely know and some random person who I barely know who can't talk on camera is saying some shit. I don't get this. And then Lemon Meringue came out, and she's now part of this tag that's not going to be a mixed tag match. And listen, it's better than Brandy being involved, maybe. I don't know, but German Chocolate Cake was better on the mic than Jade Cargill, so that's kind of good.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it to King Cake. She was fiery and she had that going for her, but this is. What was Stephen Amell and Pac against fucking Cody Rhodes as
that's
Stardust,
his gimmick, apparently.
And I don't even remember who he was teaming with in that fucking thing. But
listen, if you think that Jade Cargill is getting over in this, you're wrong. I think Carrot Cake might actually have something, possibly, but this is not the way to do any of this.
Sorry, lemon poppy seed.
That's a muffin.
You can have a lemon poppy seed cake.
All right, let's move on.
Hangman beat up Dolph Ziggler's brother.
This was the best thing about the whole show and the worst thing about the whole show all in one. Because a star actually came out. A fucking star. Cody Rhodes is a star in a garbage angle. Doesn't count. Paige comes out. He's no longer in this stupid Dark Order treadmill. And he just comes out and he's going to beat up some nobody. Some nobody is a heel. Is obviously a heel. Is wrestling like a heel. Adam Paige is wrestling like a babyface in a singles match and doing his shit. That was all great. And then Matt fucking Hardy shows up and ruins everything for me because I don't need more factions. I do not need Matt Hardy and Private Party, who are now heels from last week, trying to recruit Adam Page. I get it. You can put tons of freaking ammunition behind this by having every faction in AEW try to recruit Adam Page. You've got enough material for 6 years because there are more factions in AEW than there are singles wrestlers in AEW. I don't know how that's possible, but Tony Khan's figured it out.
Also, if Private Party are heels now, they went over to Impact Wrestling and are challenging the heels, who are the tag team champions, the Good Brothers, for the tag team. The all heels wrestling is leaking over into Impact Wrestling. They caught it.
Of course they are.
They better get the vaccine.
Of course they are. But part of me is fine with this idea that everyone wants Adam Page because Adam Page is a star and should be treated as such. But it does highlight the fact that there are way too many goddamn factions in AEW. Every single person is in one. That's not good. It's just not good.
Yeah.
Now, Matt Hardy did not teleport at all at any time during this, which, strangely enough, has to be mentioned as an up.
Unless he teleported off television forever, which that would be a big up.
And his glass bones, because he can barely move as a human being anymore. Matt Hardy has turned into a robot.
It's funny because we said that when the Hardys first came back to WWE, and then he took some time off, like he had surgery, he rehabbed some nagging injuries. He came back and it was like, oh, wow, he's moving a lot better than he used to. And now it's just like back to that again.
Listen, he's an old man who's taken tons of fucking bumps. I'm not saying he should go out there and be spry. I'm just saying maybe don't go have wrestling matches anymore. We don't need that.
My wife goes, oh, that's good that they're not having him wrestle anymore and he's just being a manager. I was like, he still does wrestle. And she's like, oh, he shouldn't.
Like, that's not the reaction people should have.
Yeah.
All right. We had a back and forth via text message about Jungle Boy's new entrance theme, which happened, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a few weeks.
We haven't talked about AEW in a hot minute, as they say. I like the fact that it's a kind of call and response. Not really. It's a call that can be done for Jungle Boy. I do like that. But maybe a remix of that song would have been a little bit better because a bubbly 80s pop tune that has no teeth to it whatsoever as a wrestler's entrance theme seems a little bit like The Rock in 1997 coming out to a doo-wop tune. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, Kevin. You're just an asshole. No.
Isn't that always the way?
I get what you mean. And honestly, I really liked Jurassic Express's music previously.
Me too. I did too.
It very much fit them. But I kinda dig this. I'm not going to say that it's a good song, but it's a catchy song that has the feel for Jungle Boy, maybe not so much Luchasaurus and Marco Stunt, but I mean, Jungle Boy is definitely the it guy out of that group. So
100%.
So focusing on him for something like that makes some sense. Also, because when I hear this song, the first thing that always comes to my mind was they did a Listerine commercial with this in the 90s.
Of course they did.
With a Listerine bottle swinging around in the jungle, like Tarzan. But anyway, I think that the song is cute for it. I don't know if I would do it for Jungle Boy as a, like, if he were to, like, Jurassic Express dissolved and he was just wholly single, I don't think that I would do that. I also probably would drop calling him Jungle Boy and would just go to calling him Jack Perry. But because there has to be a point to where this dude breaks out onto his own, and it shouldn't be as Jungle Boy. Like,
well, but I mean, they're doubling down on that with Tarzan Boy.
Yeah,
I mean, they're really going all in with that. I don't know the fact that when Jurassic Express comes out again, it won't be with Jurassic Express theme music. Jungle, this might be his.
Oh, they've done it like two or three times now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I stand corrected.
They probably are licensing it now. Yeah.
Oh, they are. I mean, this was a very public thing that Tony Khan bought the rights for this in like perpetuity to play this song for Jungle Boy. Let's get to this. Let's transition to the fact that we had this match between two extremely competent, excellent professional wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And Jungle Boy is still young and probably still does too much shit, but Dax is incredible.
Yeah.
And these guys had a really, really good pro wrestling match.
Yeah.
The problem that I had here, and this is one of those things, I'm always couching with negativity, and I'm sorry, but if Cody Rhodes didn't go out on every episode of Dynamite and wrestle a nobody for 25 minutes, this would have been so much better. Less is more. If we had more squash matches, more time limit draws, more endings that weren't a underdog babyface getting it over on a heel, this would mean something more. But every single week on Dynamite, we have two people go 20 minutes and 50-50 matches with a bunch of different kind of pins. This wasn't special. This was another thing that could have helped to get Jungle Boy over, and it did a great job in doing it. But it would have been so much better had we not seen this every single week. We had Cody Rhodes fight War Horse months ago. A nobody. Why do we, you know, it just, it becomes so repetitive. And these are the kind of matches that AEW books. This was a good way to do it. These were two guys who knew what they were doing. The angle afterwards worked. And the fact that Dax lost worked for me because Jungle Boy is a future star. So yeah, Dax is a single guy, does put him over. If I were in charge here, I'd have Dax and Cash come out next week and go, yeah, of course you beat us. We're a tag team. We're not singles.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We're tag teams. So pick Marco or pick Luchasaurus and then come beat us as a tag team and let him not be able to do it. And use that to break Jungle Boy out. They've done a lot to try to put Jungle Boy over with MJF 3-4 months ago. They've had these stop and starts with him.
Yeah.
Push this fucking guy. Use a match like this as a springboard. But it would have been more special had they not been doing this every single week for as long as the show has been on.
Yeah, I get what you mean there. I did just wholly enjoy this match. It was the best match of the night. It was fun, despite like what you just all went through. Like seeing two guys who were predominantly tag team guys get to have a singles match, and you had a little bit of schnoz or schmoz stuff going on the outside.
Or schnoz.
Yeah, schnoz. You know, a lot of noses. But, like, it didn't impact things too much. I didn't mean to say
hashtag.
That. But these guys work well together. Jungle Boy, for as young as he is, like, he knows how to put a match together. He knows how to sell. He knows
how to sell.
Yeah.
He does know how to sell. I think there was a little bit, if I would have taken one of the segments, one of the sequences of them trying to get flash pins on each other out of it, I think it was a little bit overdone. But there was a point, and I wrote this down, where Dax is picking Jungle Boy up off the canvas, and Jungle Boy just goes limp for a second and then kind of composes himself and goes up with Dax because you have to. It's pro wrestling. And I thought to myself, when have I ever seen the young fucking Bucks ever do that once? Because Jungle Boy knows how to sell. He knows how to actually look in danger. The Young Bucks only know how to look like badasses, even though they're 143 pounds combined. I see someone like this and I go, that's your star. Adam Page, that's your star. MJF, not with Chris Jericho, that's your star. They've got their stars. They just don't know who to push because their executive VPs, other than Cody, kind of suck.
So there was one thing about the aftermath that I was a little, I couldn't quite follow. So they cut off the horns of Luchasaurus's mask and then threatened to cut off Jungle Boy's hair before they were interrupted. Stuff like that usually leads to like a mask versus hair, mask versus mask, hair versus hair type of thing.
But all the hair and the masks are on one side?
Yes.
I thought the same thing.
Like, what does FTR have to put on the line? Tully?
His hair? I mean, Cash has hair.
A little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. But, you know, listen, I think that this is actually a good feud. It's a step down for FTR. They're the best tag team in the company. If you put them both together, they're probably two of the top five wrestlers in the whole company. And as far as singles, if you do that. And it's kind of sucks that they're working with inferior talent when you're not talking about Jungle Boy, when you're talking about Marco Stunt and Luchasaurus. But you've got me interested. This was actually a good segment.
Yeah.
So that's good. It was one of the few ups of this entire show.
I would agree.
And then let's take it right back down with the main event, which is hashtag AEW pointless tag match, which is Anderson and Gallows with the worst title belts I've ever seen in my life. Which is anyone interested in this at all? I mean, you've got a faction on one side who up until a month ago were complete and total heels, never really turned babyface. They mean they did for Brody Lee and the special for him, but I'm not sure that that counts.
The announcers mentioned during this match of a change in direction for them, that they are now fighting for the honor of AEW and all of that.
But the Bucks are on the other side and they're babyface tag champs for AEW. What are you talking about? I mean, the Bucks are heels because they suck and I want to see them punched in the face, but that's just me. Yes, they played heels for 6 weeks on TV, and we're not even going to talk about that because that would be logical, but they're portraying them as baby faces in the Kenny Omega thing. None of this makes any fucking sense. And it was just another match where things just happened. No one sold anything. Nothing. Not one goddamn thing. Everyone's in the ring at once. None of it matters. And it's the reason why I have gone back through and watched the last several weeks of AEW Dynamite. We didn't talk about it. We were off a couple weeks ago because of a family situation for myself. We talked about NXT the week before or the next week. I can't even watch the main events. There's a reason. They don't matter. They just don't fucking matter. Sorry. I cannot care about these people. Gallows and Anderson were the only ones that I kind of halfway cared about. And that's just because I know that they're talented.
Yeah, except I feel like when given some leash, Gallows loves to point to his dick.
In a really weird, awkward way. Yeah. Like, yes, that was weird. I didn't like it. I don't approve. Nope, don't approve.
Yeah, I was like, okay, this is. I get that the Bullet Club did the suck it thing, too. But like, this is a bit much.
Yeah, it was not good. And I know they're doing their best to put John Silver over as this breakout star because he's been on Being the Elite, which I am. My father once sent me a text message, and he said, and this is 10 years ago, I think, and he said, when I die, I want you to say at my memorial that one of the things he was most proud of was that he's never watched a single episode of American Idol. Okay. That is, you know, that's counterculture. It's all that kind of stuff. And I've always loved that. I always thought that was just genius that my dad said that. And I agree with it. I do not know how I can equate to that other than saying that I have never watched an episode of Being the Elite. And I want my child, my 3-year-old son, to say that at my memorial. Because I cannot imagine that being anything but hot garbage. Because the Bucks matches, hot garbage. They don't seem to have a funny bone in their body. And if this is where John Silver is getting over, pass. Just pass. Because as far as boring, bald, bearded men in the Dark Order, he's as good as the other one. He just has bigger arms.
I'm going to give the dude a little more credit than what you are. I think that he's talented as a worker. I too do not watch Being the Elite. I cannot say that I've never watched it. And you can't either, because I sent you a clip from it before of the monologue Hangman did a few months back of him.
That doesn't count because none of those jabronis were on that. That was Adam Page. He's a star. I stand by my statement.
But I like John Silver's work rate. I like the intensity. I think that he hits moves with authority, and they look good and look impressive. I unfortunately don't think that he's ever going to be a big star because of his size. But I really like him and Alex Reynolds as a tag team. I think that Alex Reynolds is a very underappreciated wrestler too. And those two work really well as a team. They have some really good double team maneuvers. And I would just like to see them more involved in just like the tag team division. Although the tag team division is muddy as fuck. But I think that he has potential to be a really good tag team worker with Reynolds, someone else in the future. And maybe a middle card title contender. But I am not familiar with any characterizations of him on Being the Elite, though. I don't know Johnny Hungy.
Well, listen, I appreciate your opinion, Mike. And we agree on so many things. And sometimes we just don't. We just can't come to a meeting of the minds. I could never see John Silver again and be very happy about it. I can never see the Young Bucks again and be very happy about it. In fact, I came up with, as I was watching the main event, and I say that loosely, a couple, because the Young Bucks cannot be the Young Bucks forever because they're not young. So I came up with a couple alternative team names. The Uninteresting Bucks, I think, would be very, very adequate as a name. The Repetitive Bucks, I think, would be accurate as far as what they are. Those are the only two I came up with. I know I made it sound like I had more, but I just came up with the two. The Repetitive and the Uninteresting Bucks. I cannot.
In 30
think
years,
of it.
They'll be the geriatric deer.
There you go. I just do not care about these people. They cut shitty promos. They do shitty repetitive matches. They are not good. And the less they are on that television show, the better it is.
You hear it here every week. Kevin hates the Bucks.
Hate the Young Bucks. I've grown to like Kenny Omega a little bit.
I know you said that.
But this is the way it is. If you give me something, he's a heel. He's a shitty, entitled heel with Don Callis being his manager. And while I'm not enamored with him, this is a great direction for him. If the Bucks would have actually turned heel when they teased they were going to, it might actually work right now. But
yeah,
they've got to be baby faces in this whole thing. I don't get it. Why are they bringing Anderson and Gallows into this to have the Impact tag team champions on TV when the Bucks could be serving that same enforcer? Oh God, enforcer role. I'm bigger than both of them combined.
It's like your son being an enforcer for someone.
My 3-year-old could kick the shit out of the Young Bucks. But yeah, I just, it seems so, they don't know what they're working with. They don't understand the people on the roster and what their skill sets are. The Young Bucks are smarmy little bastards who you want to punch in the face. They've never been anything different on the entire show since the time it started. And the fact that they haven't moved in that direction shows a rejection of reality that is staggering. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. So, as you are probably well aware of, if you pay any attention to this show, we have not watched main roster WWE in many, many months. At least 8, maybe around 9 to 10, without doing hard math.
Apparently they really like fire now. Everyone's being set on fire.
Really?
Yeah. Well, Randy Orton was set on fire. The Fiend was set on fire. Alexa Bliss had something to do with fire. There's a lot of fire.
Ah.
Yeah.
Fire. Beavis would be happy.
He would.
So we decided, in the spirit of, I don't know, that Royal Rumble is this weekend, and we are just generally fans of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. So we're going to watch this pay-per-view.
The first WWE Raw or SmackDown or whatever you want to call it, main roster pay-per-view we've watched since WrestleMania?
I think Money in the Bank was the last pay-per-view that we watched.
Yes, we did. I just wanted to forget all of them, but yes, you are 100% correct.
And we haven't watched Raw or SmackDown. We haven't watched SmackDown since they moved to Fox.
No.
And we haven't watched Raw since right around the same time that we stopped watching WWE main roster pay-per-views. So we're going into this pretty blind. I've even stopped reading most of the rundowns. Like, every so while, I read some Raw stuff this week. And it's probably the first time in like 3 or 4 weeks that I've read anything about Raw. So I'm looking at the card. Roman Reigns is fighting Kevin Owens. I'm like, oh shit. I didn't know this was a feud going on.
At some point, he was supposed to be fighting Adam Pearce.
Oh, yeah, and he didn't get medically cleared or something.
Oh,
like
well,
that.
Of course.
I mean, Adam Pearce has been, he's been retired for a while. And it's a last man standing match. So I'm like, oh, shit, a blow-off gimmick? How long has this been going on? I didn't bother to look that up. Drew McIntyre fighting Goldberg is like... I knew that this was happening.
Resurrect Goldberg every fucking WrestleMania just to have him go out and do a shitty match and have people boo him. Cool. Good job, WWE.
A few days ago, I learned that Asuka and Charlotte are the women's tag team champions.
I had no idea that was the case. Good for them, apparently.
Because they're fighting... when did they... They won it on December. They won those titles on my birthday. Congratulations, gang. But then we have the Royal Rumble matches. These matches have been something important to me since first grade. And I've always liked this match type and always enjoyed watching this pay-per-view. And I think despite us being the people who rag on nostalgia time in and time out on this podcast, we're going to watch the fucking Royal Rumble because of nostalgia.
For sure.
For a match type and a pay-per-view, not for a particular person.
You know what I'm looking forward to? I have never seen Roman Reigns perform as a heel.
Yeah.
Because we weren't watching when he did that. And I've heard good things, but I don't have enough time in the day to devote the brain power to it. I'm looking forward to seeing Roman Reigns the fucking heel because I've heard he's amazing and I've been waiting for it for years. That's one of the things about the WWE main roster that is so perplexing is that they've done some things that I would go, oh, I want to watch that. And I have no interest in watching it because they're terrible. And they do terrible things, and they fuck up everything that has any kind of whiff of being possibly good.
Yeah.
You can also say the same thing for NXT and AEW, but that's neither here nor there.
Neither. So it's going to be interesting. Like we talked about maybe doing our bullshit predictions with like zero context as to what's going on, but. And we could certainly do that for the three matches that are not the Royal Rumble matches. But like the Rumble matches themselves, there's 17 people announced for the men's Rumble and 12 for the women's.
And we have no idea who they've been pushing or who they're actually thinking about for this. Yeah, it wouldn't make a lot of sense for us to talk about that the way that you're kind of explaining it.
Yeah, you made a great point. I do not have a clue what they are trying to push as the main event matches for Mania, for who are the odds on favorite to win the Rumble because of that.
Well, let me clue you in, Mike, because right. I do check What Culture on a regular basis, and the last article I read from them said they have no fucking idea who is going to headline WrestleMania because they are completely lost and don't know what they're doing. I'm paraphrasing, but that is basically what they said. They have no idea. They don't know what they're doing. They haven't known what they're doing for a very, very long time. And it shows in the product and the reason why we're not watching it.
Yeah. So let's give some quick little predictions for the two world title matches and the women's tag team title match. Asuka and Charlotte Flair are defending their tag titles against Nia, the human killer, and Shayna Baszler, who are former champions.
So I'll go with Nia. And is it Nia Jax and Shayna? You said Shayna Baszler, yeah. Right? They actually seem that they've actually been a tag team for a good period of time. And is Asuka still a? Does she still hold one of the women's like world titles?
I don't know.
I'm going, it doesn't matter. I'm going with Nia and Shayna. I don't care, and Nia doesn't care apparently, if she injures every single woman on the roster. She will injure them. She does not care. Maybe it's because she's the best heel in the business. MJF certainly used to be, and now he just is a fucking unwatchable hack now that he's part of the inner circle and doing stupid bits. So maybe Nia's the real deal because she injures people and then brags about it on Twitter. But Nia and Shayna for me.
I'm going to go with Nia and Shayna as well. I'm thinking some sort of Asuka-Charlotte feud because why not? That's all WWE knows how to do is have friends no longer be friends, and that's how rivalries start.
Yep.
Drew McIntyre and Goldberg for the WWE Championship.
Bill Goldberg will have a heart attack in the middle of the ring. He will receive medical attention, and Drew McIntyre will win by some kind of forfeit or DQ.
You know, I was going to say the same thing, that Bill Goldberg has a heart attack, is taken back on a stretcher, and then comes back and still spears Drew McIntyre and wins the title.
Oh, but okay.
No, I'm not going with that.
Oh, you're not saying that? Okay.
No.
But you know he's going to.
He's making a joke.
No, he's going to, because this is what they go back to. Bill Goldberg has if he wasn't already, he has become the Ultimate Warrior. He's blown up on his entrance. He's an old man who doesn't even fucking like wrestling, that just gets a couple million dollars to come out every couple years to do a match at WrestleMania. How fucking embarrassing. Goldberg was a person that the WWE never even wanted to recognize was anything. They wanted him to be a nobody because they were the competition. And now, because so many of the past stars will no longer compete because they're retired, they keep dredging up his corpse because they got nothing else. They have nothing. Yeah. It's the only nostalgia they have left. A guy who they didn't like, didn't push, never made anything in their own company. Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to go with Drew winning this match, but I would not be surprised if Goldberg does win.
I'm writing Drew via heart attack.
Somehow he pulls off the double team maneuver of the old Heart Foundation.
You said that, so I didn't have to. Go ahead.
And then Roman and KO in the last man standing match. I'm just going to go with Roman. I love Kevin Owens' death, but I just don't think that WWE is going to put the title on KO, especially beating, from what I understand, a pretty red-hot heel Roman.
No, I mean, everything I've heard about his heel turn has been great. KO has not been the same since they castrated him when he came back as a faux Steve Austin. They gave him the stunner as a finish and let him do nothing.
Yeah.
Probably has to do something with Goldberg, too. I feel like it was. I mean, he's the one that ended KO's heel Universal title reign. So I can't remember who ended his possibility to be pushed up the card as a babyface, but I feel like it was Goldberg too. Maybe not. Maybe it was someone else. Doesn't matter.
We can blame him. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
We can blame him. I remember being at the was the Raw where Goldberg got booed out of the building and got on the freaking microphone and was like, "Oh, okay, here, my son's here," and all this kind of like, go fuck yourself, dude. Like, they didn't want you.
Yeah,
they didn't want you to be there because they didn't care, because you were a guy who was a flash in the pan in the business, who was over 100%, but never even embraced the business. Never embraced professional wrestling. Talked about professional wrestling like you were talking about a fart in church. And there's a reason why no one really wants to see you. Yeah. Thank you, Bill Goldberg. Steve Austin loves pro wrestling. Shawn Michaels loves pro wrestling. The Undertaker loves pro wrestling. When those nostalgia pops happen, I get annoyed, but I fucking appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Bill Goldberg, you can go away forever.
Very good point. I think that a lot of people have forgotten how he just didn't care. He looked at it as like an easy buck to make.
And good for him. He made his payday. I have no qualms with that.
Yeah.
But don't try to give me my nostalgia pop on Bill Goldberg.
Yeah. All right. So it'll be interesting to see what it's like watching a main roster produced pay-per-view for the first time in a while. See if we're going to Skype in and hang out with each other virtually while we watch it and see if we can make it through. The last pay-per-view that we watched together, you had to leave early, and I just fell asleep. So once you left.
We'll probably just start talking about candy again, like we did on one of the WrestleMania nights.
Yeah. That was fun, though.
Yeah.
That was the wives involved. Night.
Like, talked about Smarties. Everyone wins.
Yes. All right. Anything else you want to add before we shove off here?
How do you feel about the fact that we will no longer have the WWE Network in March?
It's going to be weird, I think, but fine, I guess. I recently purchased a new home and and moving into the new house. Our current internet service provider is not available at our new house, so we have to switch over to Comcast, and with changing over, or Xfinity as they are known now, we're getting a year of Peacock for free. So I'll get to, I guess, still have the network for a little while.
Listen, I'll probably switch over to the Peacock and be very happy to watch The Office.
Yeah, so, that is true. I forgot that is on there, yeah.
And I'm sure also The Good Place. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on there.
Good Place is on Netflix right now.
But I imagine they'd probably be on the Peacock too, no?
I would assume after, like, they'll probably have it on there too, but there'll probably be a point where it's exclusive whenever the license runs out with
Netflix.
And
by the way, this is the portion of the podcast we call Peacock or Netflix. Okay, I'm done.
Get used to hearing that from week to week. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the functionality of all of that works with having like incorporating another network into it. I assume it might be a little bit like HBO Max, if you are familiar at all with that. That has a few different networks involved in it, and you can see stuff all together, but then you can browse by the network and find stuff there. So I assume WWE will be broken up in that way too. But anything else?
I got nothing, man.
All right. Well, thanks everyone once again for joining us. If you're going to be watching Royal Rumble, good luck. And we'll be back here next week to talk about some of that. Talk about some NXT and just be general curmudgeons towards the pro wrestling industry. For Kevin, my name is Mike. We'll catch you then. Good night. Good wrestling.
Words.